What's up, guys? This is Jacques, and welcome back to Politically Incorrect, the Politically Incorrect Pop Culture Podcast. I have a great show today with an amazing guest from my fave show, Below Deck, but first, I want to talk about something that has really pissed me off this week. Since starting this podcast a few months ago, I have been amazed at how differently I've been treated by PRs and managers and types like that as a podcaster compared to how I've been treated in my main job, which is a reporter for a big mainstream media outlet. There is an attitude from some PR peeps, not all, there are some really amazing PR people in the industry as well, but there's an attitude from some of them that because you're a podcaster that you'll literally do anything to get access to talent. It's like you're at the bottom of the totem pole and you should be grateful for any scraps they decide to bestow upon you because you're not part of old media, which for some reason is still treated as if it's more important and better than new media and independent media, which it absolutely is not. And I'm not just talking about myself and my little three-month-old podcast. I know people with huge shows that still get treated like crap from PRs. Like, it's not just me. I am going to be professional about this. I'm going to keep this vague so I'm not publicly calling anybody out of their name because honestly, it's not deep enough for me to like name and shame somebody. But I got the rudest fucking email from a PR recently and it just encapsulated everything that's so dodgy and wrong about these people. It was demeaning, and I felt like it really just questioned my integrity, like as a journalist and a content creator and a podcaster, and that really set me off. There was a presumption that I'm just going to jump through hoops like a monkey in the circus just for the chance to interview some nobody who honestly probably needs me more than I need them. First of all, I don't need celebrity talent to carry my show. I can record a whole episode of this podcast in my bedroom while sipping an iced latte and I can still make it juicy and entertaining. I don't rely on having to have a celebrity guest. I don't need to blow anybody to interview a housewife or a bachelor star from yesteryear. Of course, celebrity guests are great. They're fun to talk to. They do bring attention to the show, you know, especially if they share it on their social media, which, to be honest, not all of them do. But yes, it can bring more eyeballs and more listeners to the show, which, you know, helps a lot. And I'm totally appreciative of all the incredible and lovely guests that I've had on so far. I am 1,000,000% aware that my show never would have even got off the ground if I hadn't had Tamra Judge on the first episode to kind of like launch the whole thing. But at the end of the day, I don't need celebrities to carry my show every episode. Also, there are 1,000,000 people out there with some clout and some Instagram followers that I can talk to anyway. Unless you're Kim Kardashian or The Rock or J-Lo, I'm not going to bend over backwards like a pauper begging some PR to approve every word of my interview and to approve all of the questions beforehand and which media articles are being written about the episode. This is a collaboration, okay? Like, that means give and take. It goes both ways. It's a two-way street. We are working together on something and we are on the same level. You are not above me. I have people on this podcast that I genuinely am a fan of or I think will be interesting to speak to, and I'm happy to promote anything they've got going on and to give them a platform, and I can respect if there's a topic that somebody doesn't want to discuss, you know, as long as I'm made aware of it in advance and it's not sprung on me 10 minutes before the interview. I've had controversial people on here before, and I've treated them extremely well. If anything, people could probably criticize me for, like, being too soft on certain people because, you know, I am very sympathetic to people that have had, you know, backlash or got into scandals and, you know, gotten cancelled or whatever. I like to give those people a platform to kind of explain themselves and to have a dialogue about it. So for any PR to kind of act like I am going to do something shady or I did do something shady or I don't have the best intentions when it comes to their clients, I take that as such a personal insult to me and to all other professional podcasters out there. The thing is, if I want to throw someone under the bus for a negative, salacious headline and a soundbite, I can do that. I know how. Like, that's basically my day job. That's what it's like working in the mainstream media side of things, and I hate it, which is why I started the podcast, because with the podcast, I can actually have real conversations with people. So I'm not going to let any PR insult me or be passive-aggressive or think that it's my job just to churn out press releases for their clients. I've been working in this field for like 10 plus years. Do Do you know how many celebrities and pop stars and reality stars I've seen come and go in that time? There are people who were so hot at one stage, and these days you could not pay someone to interview them. You cannot pay someone to have them on their podcast or to feature them in a news media article or anything, okay? These people come and go. Now, look, again, I'm so appreciative of all the great guests that I've been able to have on the show. And as a new podcaster, like, they've really helped the show. And it's been a dream come true to, like, talk to some of the people that I have. And I have so many other, you know, great people in the pipeline that I can't wait to speak to and to have on the show. But, like, please remember that for a lot of you, you're also lucky to be here too. I am good at interviewing. Pretty much all of my interviews have got some press and media attention, which that's kind of the goal when you're promoting something, right? Like, I've seen plenty of celebrities go on podcasts and they don't make a peep in the media or get any press. And that's because of me, because I work in the media, so I know how to get media attention for the things that I do. You know, it's kind of my job. And in my interviews and anything that I do, I go out of my way to hype up my guests. And if they're controversial, I try to show people a positive side from them. Like, everything I'm doing is coming from a good place that's beneficial to me, to my listeners, to whoever I have on the show. I want my guests to come off the best that they can. And, you know, I want my listeners to love them. So I'm definitely not going to be disrespected by anybody in this industry, period. And a shout out to all of the amazing PR people and managers out there and everyone behind the scenes that I've worked with and that are doing a great job, because there really are a lot of, like, amazing people in this industry. You know, I work with, like, Hey You and Bravo, and they've been, like, fantastic. So much love to them, and I appreciate everyone that's great to work with. But for the shady PRs and the ones that think that I'm just going to be their bitch and I'm going to jump through hoops for them, like, please do not try it. Because if I want to, I can make your clients look shit. I know how to do it. You're lucky that's not my personality. But if you push me, I can call people out on their name and I can spill tea. And I'm not going to do that, but I'm just saying, please be nice and please be respectful. Again, it's a two-way street. I am not your pet. So let's talk about Bronwyn. Even if you were not watching The Real Housewives of Orange County, you probably would have seen her, because she's actually getting media attention outside of the Housewives bubble, which is very hard to do. So Bronwyn is the alcoholic lesbian with 7 kids, a husband, and an open marriage. She really is the most hated housewife in the entire franchise right now, because she is just so thirsty. She's so desperate for media attention. She seems to lie a lot. She's judgmental, just a hot ass mess. But I love it, because she is just a fountain of content and drama. She really is reality TV gold. She is giving us constant entertainment, whether it's on the show or outside the show or on her Instagram. I mean, I just love it. So she has been setting up a bunch of paparazzi photos for a really long time now. She's actually been doing it since her first season, because I remember seeing photos of her at the beach and I was like, staged. These photos that she's been doing lately are just so out of control. Like, the first one she did was her and her new girlfriend walking along some deserted beach in Newport and kissing. And then she got papped going into a sex shop with her husband, and she was wearing a necklace that said, "Okay, gay," because she'd just come out. So, I mean, how convenient the paparazzi were there to see you leaving the sex shop with a big dildo and a LGBT necklace with your husband. Like, give me a break. They are super staged. Trust me. Like, I know how to spot a fake paparazzi photo, because I do this for a living. Basically, I've helped people before set up fake paparazzi photos in my day job. You cannot fool me when it comes to this stuff. Even her husband has actually been getting papped and getting in the media, and the pair of them are constantly in the tabloids like the Daily Mail and Us Weekly with stories like, "A source says Bronwyn and Sean are dating other people." And it's like, that source is Bronwyn and Sean, or at least someone close to them that has been given the okay by Bronwyn and Sean to do this. Usually in tabloids, especially when it comes to sort of like Z-listy type people, you know, like your reality stars and whatnot, that the source is them themselves. That's how it all works. Like, most stuff in the media is pretty fake and set up. So anyway, Bronwyn was on Watch What Happens Live, and someone actually called in and asked her point blank if she has been staging pap photos, which I couldn't believe someone actually asked her that, but I loved it. She lied, and she said that the paps had been camped outside of her house. Honey, this is like not 2007 Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan era. No pap is camping outside anybody's house unless you were like a super A-lister. And even then, you would have to have had like a huge scandal. Like you've got to be like Armie Hammer or Hilaria Baldwin or something where you're just really newsworthy. So the paps are going to be out there. The paparazzi do not give a shit about stalking Bronwyn from the OC unless she set it up herself. So she's lying, and Andy Cohen did not even try to hide the fact that he knew she was full of shit. He was pulling faces as she spoke. He even asked her about it in like a condescending tone. Like he was throwing shade at her. Like even Andy, I think, is done with Bronwyn. It was super embarrassing. So anyway, look, I just saw the other day that she was back on the Daily Mail with photos of herself taken outside of her house. They looked a lot more natural and kind of unflattering compared to the other photos she was doing. So what I think Bronwyn did was she staged these two, right, and she specifically had them out the front of her house and, you know, with no makeup on, not looking her best, to try and save her life from Watch What Happens Live. Like, she wants people to see the photos and think, oh, so Bronwyn really does have paparazzi camping at the front of her house. Like, she's Britney Spears in the mental breakdown days. Oh, I get it now. Like, she's just the thirstiest. But look, I love it. I'm excited to see more of her on the OC. I think we actually have a new iconic Z-list queen on our hands. And once Bravo is done with Bronwyn, she's going to go on Marriage Boot Camp. She's going to do the rounds on all of these awful shows. She'll go anywhere that people will have her. And I can't wait. I love it. While you're listening to the show, please go over and follow me on social media at PopInkPod on Twitter and Instagram. I reply to all of the messages, and also make sure you are subscribed on all of the apps. So if you're listening on Spotify, you just hit the follow button. If you're listening on an iPhone, just go into the Apple Podcast app and hit the subscribe button. That really helps me out on the charts. And of course, if you can rate and leave a review, that helps out a lot too. You can also support the show at buymeacoffee.com/PopInkPod. And the best thing that you can do to help me out is just to spread the show around. So if you heard a segment that I did that you liked or an interview that I did that you liked, please share it on like Facebook or any friends that you have that you think would like a podcast like this. You know, I do this all myself just during my weekend from work. So I pretty much have no social life. I actually did see a friend this weekend. It's the second social thing I've done since starting this podcast in October. So it takes up a lot of time. And, you know, I do all the promotion myself. Like in my spare time, I'm, you know, out there trying to like spread the show around any way that I can and get people listening and get it in front of people. So if you can, you know, if you just share it with some friends or on your social media, that helps so much. And it totally helps the show just spread and grow. And then that leads to me getting, you know, better guests down the line and the whole thing. So, yeah, any way you guys can help, I appreciate it all so much.
Okay, you guys, before the food comes, I just wanted to say that I'm so glad that you guys are all here. Like, I'm trying to share a piece of myself and my culture with you all. Dim sum is like Spanish tapas. It's small plates. Like, each thing only has like 3 or 4 pieces in it.
Mm-hmm.
But all the carts have like different items.
I've been to like Shanghai and Beijing. Yeah. And
you're like super well traveled.
So I'm watching The Real Housewives of Dallas, and there is this new housewife, Tiffany Moon. People are obsessed with her. She is a TikTok star. She's an anesthesiologist, so she's smart. She's pretty. She's rich. People cannot get enough of her, but honestly, I think she's pretty annoying so far. I'm just going to say it. It is sort of another Garcelle and Jen Shah situation where social media has kind of, you know, pre-stanned them. Everyone on social media thinks that she's the most incredible thing that's ever touched down on the Housewives franchise. I'm not sold yet. For one, she talks in this Valley Girl vocal fry voice like, I'm Tiffany Moon. I'm Tiffany Moon. She had to go to the bathroom on the last episode, and she said she had to go potty. If you're a grown-ass adult, please don't say that you need to go potty. Just say you need to go to the bathroom like a normal person. There was a scene where she gave a house tour, and She showed the other women her walk-in closet, which was just filled with tacky designer bags, and she came off as really obnoxious, honestly, which Stephanie pointed out in one of the confessionals. But to be fair, this may have been a setup, because Tiffany then said on Twitter that Stephanie had asked her for a house tour. And that's what these housewives do. Like, someone like Stephanie, right? Like, she meets Tiffany, and then maybe off camera it's like, girl, you should give a house tour. Like, you know, I'm coming over, give me a house tour. You know, it'd be great for the show. And Tiffany's like, okay. So Tiffany goes through, does the full house tour, shows off the closet. Then Stephanie in her confessionals like, oh, Tiffany is so obnoxious, like, you know, flaunting her wealth. What happened to class? Like, that's what these housewives do. They do set each other up. So look, I'll give Tiffany a pass on that one. And remember, Leanne has said before in interviews that Stephanie is the puppet master of the show and very strategic. So in another scene, Tiffany takes the women to a Chinese restaurant, right? And she tries to force them all to eat chicken feet. That was a total setup from Tiffany's end. First of all, chicken feet are not some fancy Chinese delicacy. Chicken feet are a very common food in many parts of the world. They're even considered like poor people's food in some countries. My reality TV diehard superfans will know of this famous scene on 90 Day Fiancé with Pedro and Chantel. So Pedro's family tried to serve Chantel's family chicken feet, and it was considered very disrespectful, and they had a huge fight over it. A pretty iconic scene. So look, Tiffany knew what she was doing with that one. We all know, and Tiffany knows, that Americans do not have the most developed palates when it comes to food. She wanted to make these women look like rednecks or something for not eating chicken feet. Look, I live in an Asian suburb surrounded by Asian supermarkets and Asian restaurants and Asian everything. I eat a lot of Asian food, mostly Korean, because it's not like, you know, it's a bit healthier. It's not deep fried shit. And I am not eating any damn chicken feet, okay? Keep that shit away from me. I don't care if it makes me look ignorant. I don't want to eat chicken feet. The other women don't want to eat chicken feet. Nobody wants to eat chicken feet. And you know what? It's funny. Tiffany goes on a lot about her Chinese background and being a tiger mom and, you know, taking the women to eat the chicken feet at the Chinese restaurant. And, you know, she's like, I'm going to show them some culture and, you know, it's great. But I'm confused that out of all of the cultural things that she chooses and loses, the one American thing that she adopts is the Dan Valley Girl vocal fry voice. Like, that is one that you could have just left behind. We didn't need that. Also, you know who else is annoying? Carrie. And I'm aware that I've called the two minority cast members annoying this season, which probably isn't a great look for me. If it helps, Tiffany Hendro, who was on season one and is the first Asian housewife, I think in the franchise, she's actually my favorite Dallas housewife ever. I don't know if that can shield me, but whatever. It's like me saying I have black friends or something. I'm not racist. I have black friends. Anyway, look, Carrie's actually getting on everyone's nerves. It's not just me. Look at social media. Look at the comments. Nobody is feeling Carrie right now. And you know what? Watching Carrie on this episode and watching her like come for Deandra and nitpick at people and everything, I was like, maybe Leanne was kind of right about Carrie all along. Remember, look, last season, Leanne and Carrie beefed and they had a drama and everyone called Leanne racist for how she handled it. And Leanne was definitely in the wrong, for sure. Like, the way that she constantly brought up Carrie's ethnicity and everything, it was such a bad look. You know, I don't think that she meant it in the racist way, but it definitely came off like that. And I spoke to Leanne about that when I interviewed her a few episodes ago. Totally not excusing any of that. But I can see now in Carrie's second season how she could be very irritating. And remember that Leanne has said that the producers, which I do believe Leanne on this, she said the producers told Carrie to come for her all season. And, you know, so imagine having Carrie coming at you all season and then you combine it with crazy old Leanne, and that's a recipe for disaster. And again, not excusing Leanne, but it's changed my view on it a little bit. Maybe Leanne kind of got the rough end of the stick in certain aspects of that whole feud. I actually have some Leanne and Carrie tea. So I interviewed Carrie for my day job the other day, and she was lovely, by the way. She was so nice. She was so sweet. She was not like she is on the show. I actually really enjoyed speaking to her. I thought she was lovely. And I asked her about how she made up with Leanne, because Leanne told me that after they, you know, after the show, that Leanne and her, they went out for lunch. Leanne apologized. They put it to bed. They sorted it out. And what happened, right, is that, because I was like, oh, you know, what happened with you and Leanne? I heard that you made up, you know, everything's going well now. And she goes, well, we did make up, but when the season premiered, if you watch the first episode, the producers asked Carrie about Leanne and Brandy's racism scandals and why she was giving Brandy a pass and not Leanne, because you all know that Brandy had this leaked video where she was mocking Asians. It was totally offensive and the worst, but Brandy's sort of been on an apology tour and Carrie has forgiven her, as we've seen on the show. Carrie's like, you know, you made a mistake, whereas Carrie obviously came at Leanne for their whole situation. And Carrie explained it in a way that she said that, look, Brandy was very ignorant, but she was remorseful for what she did and she felt terrible about it, whereas what Leanne did came from a place of hate and she didn't show a lot of remorse, and that was the difference. And when the episode aired, Carrie told me that Leanne texted her like, wow, I'm so disappointed that you would say that. And Carrie, when she was speaking to me, she said she was like, what? You know, you're disappointed. Like, maybe you should have just apologized to me again. Like, you know, you did do something that hurt me and was offensive. I would have just kept apologizing. Don't put it back on me, which I can see both sides of it, honestly. I can see why Carrie would be like, hey, you did something wrong. You should still be remorseful about it. You know, I've done nothing wrong in speaking about it. Especially, you know, a producer asked her point blank. It's not like Carrie brought it up out of nowhere. Whereas I can also understand Leanne's side, because it is such a, you know, it's tough to be called racist and to have that hanging over your head. And in Leanne's mind, she's like, I apologize. We sorted it out. We've moved on. It's been, you know, a really long time since that happened and we're moving forward now. And now you brought it back up and, you know, you're probably going to stir it all up in the media again. So I can understand where they're both coming from. Oh, and I asked Carrie, I was like, well, do you see yourself making up with Leanne again? Or could you see yourself, you know, they're both mutual friends with Cameron. I'm like, well, maybe could you, Cameron and Leanne, go out and you could spend some time together? And Carrie was like, no, Carrie is not interested in making amends with Leanne again. So I think that, you know, not that they were ever friends, but I think that relationship is done. I also asked Carrie about Tiffany and Deandra. Regarding her issues with Tiffany, she said that Tiffany talked a lot behind her back, like in confessionals. In one of the episodes, Tiffany called Carrie a bully because she felt like Carrie was pressuring her to drink shots, which is very hypocritical because then Tiffany was pressuring people to eat chicken feet. So I don't know. So Carrie feels like Tiffany talked behind her back. So we'll see how that goes. With Deandra, she was kind of vague, but she said that after last season, they started spending a lot of time together doing these trunk shows because Deandra has a skincare line, Carrie has a jewelry line. So they would tour together and I guess they would have, you know, booths, meet the Real Housewives of Dallas, and they would sell their products at these shows. She said that from them traveling together, they really started getting on each other's nerves and having some issues. She didn't tell me what I guess it's going to play out on the show, because I feel like she would have been more specific with me otherwise. So maybe she didn't want to give a spoiler. So I guess we're going to see that play out, why Deandra and Carrie are not getting along. By the way, on a lighter note, Carrie has a podcast now with Cameron. It's called Cam and Carrie Do Dallas. It is honestly the weirdest podcast I've ever heard. I do not even have words to describe this podcast, okay? Because you could not find anybody more different than Cam and Carrie. Their personalities are so different. Their voices are different. Their lives are different. I just do not understand the concept of this podcast. Like, you're putting the two most opposite people together. You know, we will see how long it lasts. Brandy and Stephanie already have a podcast, and that makes sense because they're kind of best friends and they have great chemistry. And then Deandra has one with Mama D called I Don't Give a Rip. Again, that makes sense. They're family. They have, you know, they're great together on the show, so I'm sure they're fun on the podcast. With that said, I've listened to Cam and Carrie's pod more than I listened to the other podcasts because it's kind of like so fucking random and makes zero sense that it sort of makes it interesting because you're listening to it like, what the hell is this? Why does this even exist? Why is this a thing? So it's kind of fascinating in a strange way. So guys, go and listen to this Cam and Carrie Do Dallas podcast, please, and let me know what you think.
Marilyn, she's psychologically disturbed, literally. Like, I'll sleep on a couch rather than share a room with Marilyn. I don't even care. I'm going to be with Matt, and the rest of it is just, like, ridiculous. I literally am a queen, and I can't wait for Matt to send her home so I have my own room, as a queen should.
So I'm watching this season of The Bachelor. Honestly, I'm not crazy about it. The Bachelor US for my Australian listeners, if you're not sure. I don't know what it is because I feel weird about not being obsessed with this season because usually The Bachelor, the American Bachelor franchise, is like my favorite thing. I'm in love with it. And I started off strong with the Claire and Tasia season, and kind of once Tasia came in and a lot of the drama died down a bit, I sort of got a bit bored with that. The Matt James one, I'm not sucked in yet. I wonder if it's because, you know, because I'm watching it here in Australia and I don't get to kind of like watch it live on TV with everybody else and have that kind of communal Bachelor viewing experience that makes the show so fun. Maybe I'm missing out, but just the episodes are very long and drawn out, and there's a lot of scenes where I'm like, yeah, I could skip this. But the one person that is getting me through this season is Queen Victoria. She's the villain. You know, on the first episode, I said that the show was lacking a villain, and that's why I didn't like it. But Queen Victoria has stepped up to the plate. Like Tiffany Moon, she has the worst vocal fry. She just walks around like, I'm Queen Victoria, and Matt is my king. She's so stupid. She's one of the dumbest people I've ever seen on the show. Look, I don't mean to be mean. She's just like a typical LA idiot. I'm sorry, that's really harsh. I feel mean saying that, honestly. If I could go back and delete that, I could. I mean, I could go back and delete it, but I just don't want to retake this review. I was listening to Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald podcast, and she thinks that Victoria is playing up for the show. I do not think she's playing it up. I really think she is this annoying. I think she's this irritating. She's picking fights with everybody. She seems to have that kind of personality where she can't help it. You know, those people that just kind of pick at you and they make a drama out of everything just naturally with their personality. That's Queen Victoria. She seems quite delusional. You know, she might be a nice person in real life. Being in this kind of environment does bring out the worst in you. So I'm not saying she's a horrible person overall, but I think that what we're seeing on the show is her. I did some Googling on her to find out more about her. So she's like a health and wellness coach or something. I don't know what that is. I think you pay her a few $100s through her website and she just tells you to drink green smoothies and shit. I also saw that she has some kind of business where she's selling like a dry brush, you know, like kind of like a loofah or something. And you can tell that she just brought this. She brought the brush off AliExpress or Wish for about $3 and she's selling them for about $25. It's just a drop shipping scheme. So she's a drop shipping scammer. I love it. It's kind of iconic. I also saw that people freaked out because she shared a photo on her Instagram, which she has now deleted. And she had a like a Trump towel or a Trump flag or something in the background. Someone zoomed in. Like, these Bachelor fans are crazy. I can't imagine going through someone's old Instagram photos and like zooming into things on the background. Like, get a life. But people kind of freaked out about that and were trying to cancel her. It's strange to me because I feel like there would be a lot of Trump supporters, or even maybe not even Trump supporters, just like Republicans and stuff, that would watch The Bachelor, because The Bachelor does have that kind of middle America thing going for it. Like, a lot of the contestants are super Christian and, you know, all apple pie, girl next door. Like, we had Hannah Brown, Alabama Hannah. So it's weird to me when the fandom reacts like that so strongly to something, and then, you know, they wanted to cancel Victoria. And I just think, well, God, probably half the people watching The Bachelor agrees with Victoria. So I hope this doesn't ruin her chance to be on Bachelor in Paradise, because I need Queen Victoria on Bachelor in Paradise. Like, she's really making the show for me. What else happened on the show? Someone fainted during the rose ceremony, which that's not the first time it happens. Look, those rose ceremonies, they film them for 6 hours or something. The girls just have to stand there for hours. They haven't eaten. They've been drinking. I'm surprised people don't faint more often. Actually, I would not be surprised if someone faints almost every rose ceremony and they just have to kind of edit half of the faintings out so they don't get done for, like, duty of care, because they probably treat these women like cattle. So look, I don't know. I'm not saying it's a bad season. It's just, it's been a bit of a background watch for me. Like, I have it on in the background while I'm working or something, and then I kind of stop what I'm doing and tune in whenever Queen Victoria's on scene. And then when Victoria's scenes are over, I go back to doing whatever, and it sort of just becomes background noise. By the way, something I do want to talk about really quickly is, has anyone seen the whole thing about Kamala Harris on the cover of Vogue? So there's kind of been this weird backlash because people don't like the cover photo of Kamala on Vogue. So in the image, she's standing against, it's kind of like a pink curtain that's hung up against the wall, and she's wearing sort of a casual suit with Converse sneakers. I thought she looked cool. Like, I really liked the cover. Some people felt it wasn't, like, glamorous enough or something. And it was, I mean, people have been talking about it everywhere. They did a whole discussion about it on that Bravo's chat room show with, like, Giselle and Portia and Kate Chastain and Hannah Burner. They were all talking about it. Okay, girl, let me tell you what the problem with America is. Here from Australia, I'll tell you everything wrong with your country. Why are your politicians on the cover of fashion magazines? Stop celebritizing them. It shouldn't even be a conversation because she shouldn't even be on the cover of Vogue. Like, she should be out making shit happen, getting those stimulus checks through. You need to worry about those stimulus checks because here in Australia, we have been getting paid like monthly since the pandemic happened. My housemate lost his job. He didn't lose it completely. He got it slashed and then he got money from the government to like keep his job and basically keep his salary like full time. Like, we've been chilling here and no one in America is getting any money. So you guys need to worry about the money instead of people being on the cover of Vogue magazine. I'm not even trying to be political. I feel like this is a pop culture segment because Vogue is a celebrity magazine, so I don't even feel like I'm discussing politics right now. I'm just saying, get those stimulus checks. Don't have politicians on the cover of fashion magazines. It's not normal. I think it's been normalized now in America because your politicians are very celebritized, and it's kind of the reason why I like following it, because I feel like I'm just following like WWE or, you know, reality television or something, because they all sort of blend together. It's just weird. And, you know, they also, Time magazine, they had Joe Biden and Kamala as their Time Person of the Year a few months ago. So they had them as the Time Person of the Year before they were even in as president and vice president. So they hadn't even done anything yet. So A, I don't know why they're Person of the Year when they haven't done shit yet. Two, they were Person of the Year over the Black Lives Matter protesters and the frontline healthcare workers. Are you telling me that Kamala and Joe are more important than the BLM protesters and the frontline healthcare workers? First of all, George Floyd's death and the BLM movement and the protests that were worldwide are like historical. I mean, that captured the attention of the entire globe. We had protests like BLM protests here in Australia and stuff. And also, I mean, the pandemic, hello, and the frontline workers and what they're going through. It's just so weird seeing the media like treating Joe and Kamala as like A-listers. And I mean, it goes for all of them. I'm not trying to just like pick on them. Of course, Trump was already a celebrity. Sarah Palin, she was, you know, you all made her a big celebrity. Like, it's all of them. I'm not like trying to pick on anyone. It's just, it's very weird. They need to get off the front cover of the Elle magazines and the Vogue magazines and the Time magazines, and they need to worry about the stimulus checks, okay? I don't fucking care what Kamala Harris is wearing on the cover of Vogue, but I mean, she did look cool. I thought she looked fabulous. I actually quite like her style, but that's besides the point. Anyway, that's all I have to say on that. Hey guys, I have my favorite person from my current fave Bravo show on today. Look, she's an icon. She's a legend. She is the moment. It is Chef Rachel from Below Deck. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I am obsessed with you because, look, this is my first season ever of watching Below Deck. I never watched it before, and I don't know, I think I just thought it looked boring because of the boat thing, and that I've gotten into it this season, and I'm freaking obsessed with it. And after I saw the first episode, I called my friend, and I was like, there's this chef on the show, and she's really bitter, but in a funny way, like us. We can relate. So are you getting a lot of good feedback?
I have hit or miss, but believe it or not, I've got a really good, amazing support base that are the viewers of the show that have been like diehard viewers of the show. So they've watched it from birth till now. So like, it's good to have that support. I mean, I've got the Karens clutching the pearls, you know.
I did see you did get a bit of backlash on the episode when you told Lee to go fuck himself, which I loved. But I remember seeing it on social media, and I think I messaged you, actually. And I'm like, girl, I haven't even seen the episode yet, but I'm Team Rachel. And after I saw the episode, I was still Team Rachel, because I felt like we've all been in those situations in life where there's been an unreasonable demand put on us at work, and you just want to go, you know what, go fuck yourself and walk out. And, you know, some of us can't do it because it's like, oh, look, like, rent's due and I can't do it. But you're on a TV show and it's like, fuck this, I'm done. Like, do you have any regrets over it, or you do it all again?
Well, I actually don't tell Lee to go fuck himself. I'm pissed at production, and I'm pissed at the preference sheet, because I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You're going to do another Charlie to me again?
Well, you did say in that scene, which is the funniest thing to me, is when you go fuck yourself, and then you go, no, I love you. And that kills me.
Thank you. So you heard it.
I did.
So many people were like, no, you said fuck you to Lee. I was like, are you kidding me? I love and adore that man. I'm not going to tell him to go fuck himself. Everybody else, yes, go fuck yourself. But him, no.
So was it really you, like, you were sort of slamming production, but the way they have to edit it, it's like they can't break the fourth wall too much?
Yeah, they could have break the fourth wall, which is fine by me. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter, man. Bring in those ratings, baby. Bring in those ratings. Give them to me. My favorite, though, like, out of the whole thing, this is why I have no regrets. And I'm one of those people where I'm like, if I do what I do, I do what I do. You know what I mean? Everyone's like, you did that because you were drunk. I'm like, have you seen me when I'm sober out and about? Like, that's even way worse. I feel like I'm like running for political Congress of the world. I'm like, hi, I'm shaking babies, kissing hands. I mean, shit's happened all over the place. But my favorite part of that episode that I never knew would have gone viral was when I looked into the camera going toward production, and I got, because I wanted the camera guy out of my face, and he's a sweet guy, but I was probably going to punch him in a second. And I was like, eat my cooter, with such disdain, and the finger as well, right into the lens. And I never knew that that moment in time I would become a t-shirt, a bumper sticker, a computer cover, and my mug on a mug, you know?
People love that. Have you done your own Eat My Cooter merch yet? Because you should be on that already. Cash in.
I would, but technically I can't, because Bravo owns my likeness. Bastards.
You know, in that scene, you said, I make way more money sitting at home. Is this true? Do you make more money on your usual, like your private, when you're just being a private chef, than doing TV?
Yeah, I do. And then about almost 7 years ago, well, no, 6 years ago, I started studying Ayurveda, which is like health and wellness and nutrition. It's amazing. Like, I went back Ayurvedic and predominantly plant-based, but just for my own body type, because my body type doesn't do well with acidity. So I have to lower the acidity, and that has to do with like uric acid and animal proteins and certain things like that. So, I mean, I've lost significant amount of bloating, not necessarily weight, but it helps. But that's what I do online, and I consult, and then I train other chefs how to be Ayurvedic chefs for their clients. I go in, I figure out their body type, and it's pretty much online. So I make more money sitting at home on the couch and then getting hired out to go work as a freelance chef than I do.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I had no idea. So how did you get started as a chef? Because your food's incredible. Like Kate and Lee have said, it's the best they've ever seen on the show. I'm watching this show for the first time, and I can't believe the stuff that you come out with in the kitchen. And it's interesting because Below Deck is such a fun show to watch, because it's not just like the drama and stuff. It has so many elements, and one of them is just seeing the food that you make, which is just like off the charts. So how did you get started? Like, how did you become a chef?
It was such an accident. My mouth and me get myself in trouble occasionally. I was a bartender, and I was going to school for something completely different. And I was going into the kitchen, getting my stuff to make syrups and all of that for, you know, to tin bar that night. And it was a Friday night. I'll never forget it. The Friday night, I was going to get all my stuff to do all the prep. It was early. And the kitchen creatures were having a go at me. And they were just like, I mean, having a go. And today was the day that, like, I don't know what it was, but they were just like, yeah, blah, 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 bantering. It was so much fun. And then, like, all of a sudden, they were like, hey, you know, why don't you put your money where your mouth is? Well, I didn't know that one of the prep guys got fired or quit. I think it was like was mutual kind of thing. So they didn't have anybody to do prep in the morning for them. And they said, you've got a shift. Why don't you come in and do prep for us tomorrow morning? Well, because I turned around, I was all like, yeah. I was like, well, bring it, you know? And they're like, well, fine. You know, here's your apron. We'll see you in the morning.
Were you like, already a good cook? Like, were you just naturally always good in the kitchen?
I had friends of mine that I would feed. And when I was bartending, we'd have barbecues and I would cook and I'd be like the pit master with everybody, you know, and it was so much fun. And I didn't know, I just kind of got into it. And like, it was, that's it. That was the beginning of the end.
You must have gone to school or something at some point for it because you're so like advanced.
I did go to school in the end. I ended up picking up courses as much as possible. And then I ended up going up to New York, taking courses at CIA. I did a lot of stages as well. I was really lucky. I got into a Michelin restaurant where I got to spend, also in Italy as well. I was on the Amalfi Coast for a whole summer season, which was like completely chock-a-block of any kind of celebrity you can think of, coming off of yachts, you know, French Riviera, like.
So had you been trying to get on TV? Because obviously, look, we've all seen your America's Next Top Model audition that's gone viral. Were you like, have you been trying to get on TV? Because I've been trying to get on TV and I couldn't, so I started a fucking podcast. So is that what happened with you? Or
I don't know what it says on my forehead, but it says ratings asshole. no, I was actually, once again, I was bartending and I was walking from one bar to the next bar because my bar back was too busy to bring me a bottle of Jaeger. And a lady stopped me and said, have you ever thought about being a model? And I looked at her and I was like, fuck no. And she was like, oh, well, I'm a casting director for a show called America's Next Top Model. And I was like, shut the front door. And she was like, why don't you just come? We're going to be down at the convention center in Tampa. She was like, why don't you come in and we'll get you signed up. And then here's my number. Text me and I'll come forward and bring you back. So they came forward. I signed my name and all this NDAs and all of that stuff that go with it. And she walked me back and I saw Tyra and a couple other people. It wasn't Tyra, but this is the second time, but a whole bunch of cameras and a couple other casting directors at the same time too. And I think Jay was there. Because there was a couple of times that I saw them on multiple occasions, but they flew me, I think a couple of weeks later out to LA and I went to LA and then that's when they started filming. And, we were there for quite a while because they sequester you away because of, you know, they don't want you to spoil the show and who made it and stuff like that. But I had more fun not filming because that's when like, I got bottle service and I got all the other girls that didn't make it. And we all like snuck out and went downstairs and partied and we got hammered in my room and like screaming off the balcony, like, wah! You know, it was amazing.
Probably another bunch of girls that like some like crazy girls that some casting director had found on the street. He put you all together.
Right? Like, Jesus, that's a good amalgamation.
What was Tyra like? Did you see her behind the scenes? Because she sort of has a weird reputation. Like, some people say she's an asshole. Other people say she's nice.
She's just straight to the point. When she told me I was a plus-size model, and then I was just like, I don't care, whatever. I was like, you flew me out here, so whatever. And then she was like, you need to act like you really want to be here. You're just so aloof. I was like, you flew me out here.
I couldn't give a shit.
I could give a fuck less.
So how did you end up on Below Deck? Like, did you apply for it? Did, like, Kate recommend you?
Once again, reality TV strikes again. Kate and I were working on a boat together. I think we just finished our season, or I actually like officially resigned. I think I officially resigned. It was when like the engineer finally got his last claws into me when he just shut down all my equipment. And I was just like, you see you next Tuesday. I am actually quitting. That was a couple hours before the boss showed up. Anyways. So Kate and I, around the same time, this is during the airing of the first season, we were contacted.
Oh, both of you. And what, did you audition and they just kept you on file until season 8 or?
I just basically, I was on camera. On the phone and the computer and did like a little bit of a, you know, whatever, soundbite. And then she went on to do it. And then they contacted me again. And Kate was like, you got to bring her on. I guess there's been a couple of times that shit's hit the fan on the show, and then they've contacted me. I've been mid-contract with a job that I'm like in love with, or they had me on standby one time, and then I was just like, you don't put baby on standby. So they finally called me this season, and I said, I was in Monaco at the time, and I was just like, I'm bored. I'm like, I want to do something fun. I'm like, what better to rip the Band-Aid off a yachting and ruin that reputation is to go below deck.
Were you disappointed that Kate wasn't going to be there?
I was so sad. I really thought that like any moment in time, she was just going to like bust through that door like, hey. I was even waiting for Josiah. I was all like, at one point when I was like going through the cupboards in the galley, I even thought to myself, should I just go through the closets and the cabins to find out if these motherfuckers are hiding in here?
Okay, I want to ask you some questions about the season. So, all right, well, while we're on the subject of Kate then, Francesca, who is Kate's replacement, what are your thoughts on Francesca versus Elizabeth? That divides people. I go back and forth with it watching the show because sometimes I'm watching it and I'm like, God, Francesca, like, you know, fucking calm down, like lay off. And then other times I'm like, you know what, like this is meant to be luxury service. Like there's no room for error. And Elizabeth seems to like fuck stuff up. And I would be annoyed if I was so. where do you fall on this?
With my background of so many years of doing it, I kind of automatically understand different types of leadership and different types of programs where certain characters fit. Like, you know, Elizabeth comes from a very relaxed environment, probably on a like a 30 meter, 35 meter, maybe 40 tops. Very relaxed, chill, Bahama cruising boat kind of thing. Fran comes from larger boats. I think she was a purser on boats prior. So it's a different program. So you've got, you know, more people. You can be more detailed and you can bring that level of service higher. And that I actually come from that background as well. So I know where Fran's coming from, and I understand where Elizabeth is coming from, but the two not being able to get it done properly, that for me is like frustrating because it affects my department, but at the same time too, it's like I also watch Fran kind of single out Elizabeth a little extra special. And so I got tired of it because I kept hearing both of them come to me. And I'm just like, when Elizabeth said, what should I do? And I just got tired of it because it just sounded like it was became almost like bullying. So I was just like, go to Captain Lee. Because if you've gone to Eddie and nothing has happened, because she's already gone to Eddie. She's already even talked with Francesca. She's talked with me. And as a department head, I've seen bullying, but like really bad bullying, like borderline, like cornering somebody, like it's bad. So, I just go to Captain Lee. I don't agree with the different personalities, like them being combative toward each other, especially what happened with on social media. Apparently I don't follow it, so I try not to like get involved once again, but it just seemed like it just went off the rails almost immediately, instantaneously. It was bad and sour from the start.
Yeah. Well, Izzy told me, which actually I think she said this on the show as well. She said when she started, she recognize that Francesca had that type of personality and she went out to do deck. She was like, I'm going to be a deckhand now and not interior, so I don't have to deal with this. But I mean, I guess Kate Chastain's shoes, there's a big shoes to fill. She's kind of like a Bravo icon. And yeah, I'm sure that casting looked far and wide and probably Francesca's sort of type A the personality was sort of perfect for that role. Like you probably, you know what I mean? Like for the drama of the show, because then it, it's good TV for us to watch. But
yeah,
I have heard that Francesca was just a bit full on. Okay, so why don't you like James? Because James is hot as fuck. I'm obsessed with James. why don't you like James, my man?
Well, it's so funny. Everyone says like, you know, I don't like James. I don't dislike James at all. Actually, I like James. It's just when James came in to the very beginning, he was just like, I'm on holiday, you know? And he's like, I'm here, you know? That bird's fit. Yeah. You know, oh, sorry, that sounded like Australian. My bad. I'm sorry. You're affecting me, mate. No, I'm just kidding. I've offended so many people right now on this podcast.
No, I might as well fine. I don't think.
Back in American. I don't dislike James at all. He just annoys me because he does come into the galley and he just stands there sometimes. Like he's posing. He does this blue steel face all the time toward the camera. And I'm like, bitch, wash. Don't stand here. And then he's all like, so in your personal life, I'm like, who gives a fuck about my personal life? They want to know if I get the food out on time and if it looks great and tastes all right. Bitch, I'm making your tip and trying to get you ratings. Shut your face up and wash my dishes.
He's going to end up 100%. He's going to end up on like Love Island or X on the Beach or something. For sure. I think by like next year, he's going to show off on one of those shows and I will be watching.
I'm sure. I'll let Mr. Selective. He's actually a nice guy. I don't hate James at all. It's just like, he's a douche, you know? I can still like you if you're a douche. It's totally fine.
So speaking of cute deckhands, okay, Robert, like him. He's adorable. Is he as weird as he comes off on the show, or is that an act? Because when he came on, I'm like, he's too good looking to be this weird. Like, is he playing a thing to be on the show, or is he actually just that weird?
He's hilarious. I think that unfortunately, like, he doesn't get enough airtime to see the development of his weirdness, the end result, which is comes off weird. But he's actually like really funny. Like, we've had a good banter on Twitter with each other. And like I get his humor. He's funny to me. And I think he's a sweet guy. He's a very nice guy, you know?
Yeah, I like his bromance with James. I was watching with my housemate and we're like, can James and Robert just like kiss?
I was thinking the same thing, but don't say anything. Oh shit, it's on a podcast.
I watch it, I'm like, imagine they hooked up. Like, who cares about Elizabeth and Aisling? Like, we need James and Robert. That would be ratings.
I would be like, motherfucking ratings. Woof, 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 ratings. Because Lee and I, yesterday we were on the phone and I said, I want to bring this up to 2.6, baby. Come on. I said, this 1.7 ain't making it for mama.
Are you competitive like that all the time? Like, you just want to get things up? Like,
I don't even care. I mean, like, oh, shit. I would have dropped that mic, but I thought to myself, like, that costs money.
So what are your thoughts on Dolores? That was the fucking funniest thing I've seen. That was the funniest shit I've seen. And like, I can't remember when, and when she jumped off the boat the second time, and when she was drinking. When I was watching the episode, it was like a two-parter. At first I thought, are they just like editing to just show every time she drinks and they're just making out like she's drunk as a skunk and she's like not that bad? But then by the end, I'm like, oh, like... And then she jumped off. Like, did you think it was funny at the time, or were you like annoyed? Because it is pretty serious, you know. Like, she could drown.
At night, it's dangerous as shit. And the reason, yeah. And I 110% back Lee of why you don't send somebody in the water to that person just yet. Mm. The reason why is the same concept as a lifeguard. When somebody is panicking and they're thrashing around, they have a propensity to turn around and take you down with them. And then you actually have to knock them out. Which would be my favorite part. I'd be like, no, no, I got this. Francesca's face. No, I'm just kidding. Oops. I'm kidding. I get why Lee didn't want anyone to go in the water. And that is a serious factor, but it was funny as shit. nonetheless, I mean, it's still funny. It's funny. Oh, fuck. And then I'm like, I don't have enough freezer space to put her cadaver in there. Y'all gonna have to sort some shit out before she starts to smell. Drag her behind the boat like a bag of lobsters. I don't care.
Oh my god, imagine Dolores listening to this.
No, but she's my spirit animal. I love her. I think she's great. I don't dislike her at all. I think she's funny as crap. I'd be like, who has the moxie to do that? And then for the second time, jump off the Tinder. It's all like, what?
That, I feel like when I saw that, I'm like, you know what? They have to bring Dolores back for another charter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, bring her back in like 2 seasons time or something. Because that was so good. I mean... literally the funniest thing I've seen in so long, and Captain Lee's freak out. I loved it. What is going on with Eddie? Because he's talking a lot of shit about you in his confessionals. Are you annoyed about that? Like, watching it back?
Nah. Baby needs some airtime. Feed him some. Treat yourself, Edward.
I do think he's doing it for airtime because he's obviously been on the show before. He knows how it works. And I felt like it was a TV thing, him doing that a bit.
Yeah. He's like, you know, it's kind of funny how he's like totally like going trashing like overboard. And I love it how that I feel. I'm like, I've got nothing bad to say about Eddie. And everyone's all like, wait, hold on, what? Because I have nothing bad to say about Eddie. Actually, the team was amazing. They helped me in the galley all the time. It was great. I don't socialize with crew outside of the boat. After charter, I normally go to bed. I sleep and I eat. And I actually eat food finally, you know what I mean? So it's like when we go out those nights, it's just like, oh, crap. And then I actually am a very, very social person. I don't know if you can tell, but like I talk to everybody and I enjoy all the company as humanly possible. And so many people were so curious because they were sitting there and they were watching us being filmed and they were like so curious and they couldn't stop and they'd banter and they'd talk back. And like, you just almost wanted to include them in on it, you know, cause they signed a disclaimer to be there. So, I mean, they're cool to be on TV. Their face is going to be on it anyways. I'm like, why not? So I'm just chatty Kathy. He's just taking it to a whole nother level. And like I said, baby, get yourself some airtime. It's okay. There's plenty enough to go around. It's okay.
If you had been single during filming, could you and Eddie have ended up together? Because I can see it in my mind.
It's really funny. I was off. I think I was off texting my boyfriend and I didn't come downstairs to go to bed for like late or something. I don't know what it was. But then Francesca was like, where were you last night? Were you with Eddie? And I was all like, I'm like, first of all, you got to be this high to climb this ride. So I was like, no. And then I was like so in shock by it. And then I was like, you need to make sure that like you watch Eddie and I when we go out drinking. It had nothing to do with like me hitting on Eddie or vice versa. It had to do with he does get a little combative when he drinks and I'm too like all over the show, like literally no pun intended. And so I can see him getting perturbed and being argumentative with me. That's what I didn't want because I can be quite, you know, like, no, stay or, you know, and I do say shut the fuck up, whether I'm drinking or not. I'm going to tell you to fuck off. But like, it's, you know, I just told her that. And then she's like, oh, and then I'm like, nah, mate, he's all yours. So's Rob's and so's James or anybody else that you throw your cat at. I was like.
So is this, was Francesca trying it with the guys? Because we've seen Rob and that didn't work out. Did she try it with James and Eddie? Are we not seeing it?
No, she was just all like enamored about James. Like they were flirting with each other in the very beginning. And then I think she had a thing for Eddie as well. It was just kind of weird. But like, I know that she went to like, not only did she go to Captain Lee and like tattletale on everybody to Captain Lee, but I'm sure she went to Eddie and like tattletaled on everybody to Eddie too and got him worked up as well. So I just kind of like don't care. I'm like, you guys can talk as much trash as you want. I'm like, whatever.
Does anyone like Francesca? Because I actually, besides Aisling, which is weird, Aisling is like, she's such a brown noser with Francesca. I mean, that's how it's coming off on the show. It's like she's like Francesca's little minion. And I'm like, you're riding with the wrong team, Aisling. But what? does anyone like Francesca?
I don't know. I don't know. That's so wrong.
No one you worked with, but maybe somewhere else in the world. That's what you're saying.
I don't know. I'm not refined enough to be on her level and I'm classless, so I wouldn't know, quote unquote. And then all I got to say is when I'm getting attacked, I got to say about, I'm allowed to say this now. I've got fans, I guess. They're crazy. I call them cooter troopers. So I just say now I go, cooter troopers, mount up.
So we see you get wicked drunk on the show. And actually the next episode, the one coming up, it seems to be fallout of you getting shit faced. What is it like? Do you drink too much? Are they being uptight? Are you just crazy? They're being uptight.
I mean, because it's funny, it's like I'm at home right now. I don't really drink because there's no point in me doing it because there's no fun because we're on quarantine. And then what if I get drunk and get arrested and deported? Now that would make some good headlines. Drunk below next chef gets kicked out of Italy. Crazy bitch strikes again. No, I just think they're being uptight. I really do. And I think the focus was on me because, you know, everybody else wasn't doing anything. So, it is what it is. I don't really care. But I do think that I get singled out a lot now. It was Elizabeth that got singled out a lot. And then Izzy was getting her turn in the very beginning. She got her flogging in the very beginning. Elizabeth's getting her flogging still. And then now it's my turn. And then, you know, Fran went after James as well at one point too. So it was just like, you know, everybody's taking their turn. Everybody go to Captain Lee and complain about somebody.
So, and are you single now? Because I saw you, I think it said you said it on Up and Adam. I was researching this interview. I was like, I got the exclusive Chef Rachel interview. No one else, no other podcasts have interviewed her. And then I Google and it's like Rachel on Up and Adam. And I'm like, oh, but I watched that one and you said you were single. And that is such a shock because on the show, obviously, we saw you, like, girl, you looked like you were, like, ready, like, marriage, babies, you know, you were crying. Like, what happened?
It took me 5 months to actually get back home. Like, I had to go back to the States, quarantine, and then we were on lockdown. And then by the third month of it, actually by the end of the third month of the whole duration of everything, I said, screw this, I'm getting on a boat. So it took me 22 days to sail across the ocean to come in as an essential crew member on the ocean and got in. And that was a month almost in itself. So that's now 4 months. And then we saw each other for a brief moment, but then the chef couldn't get into the boat. So because of quarantine and lockdown and everything. And so the boat asked me to stay on because they had European charters back to back for the season. And they were just like, we don't have a chef. Do you want to stay? And I was like, yeah, why not? Meanwhile, my boyfriend's like, right. Good job. And I was like, hey, I'm working during a pandemic. This is fantastic. Are you kidding me? I'm making money. Who knows what's going to happen? And he didn't see it that way. And he didn't like that idea very much. And once when an Italian tells you not to do something, he better not do it. So we were rocky actually. Before I left, he wasn't very supportive of me doing the show. So,
oh, he wasn't very supportive.
No. He was all like, have you seen your personality? He was like, do you know what's going to happen? And I was like, I have an idea. So it's done and we're finished. But we're still amicable toward one another and nice and like everything. And we still chat. Like, you know, when you screwed up my website, we exchanged words.
is that like, is this like a macho kind of Italian guy thing? Like, you know, not wanting you to do the show and stuff. And
I don't know what it was. He's quite different. I wouldn't say he's not typically like, well, when you say Italian, he's not really like, he's everything. He wasn't very happy that like I even left to work on boats. He was like, okay, well, you know, it's time for you to come home and we've made a home together and it's time for you to stay at home ish. You know, you can go here and do this a little bit, but when it's time to come home, it's time to come home. And I don't follow those rules very well.
do you plan to, I guess, moving forward with your career, are you still going to be going out on, you know, boats and disappearing for a while? Because, I mean, that would be hard to maintain a relationship.
I like doing freelance and picking up charters and stuff like that. That's because it's not necessarily the boat. I hate the politics of the boat. I don't even care if there's crew on it or not. Like, you know, I actually love being at sea. I love sailing and I love the rush of charter. I love that. Like when I came back for that charter and just took it and I was just like, you want your tea time? You got your tea time. You want your like s'mores on the beach with homemade marshmallows with some rose essence? You got it. You know, I get so excited about that. So it's hard to take that adrenaline rush from me. I'm always going to want it. It's going to be in the back of my heart somewhere where I'm going to crave it. But you know, I would see myself kind of settling down a little bit more. And I have actually this last year, thanks to COVID, I have settled down a lot at home.
I always wonder with going on a show like Below Deck, what's the motivation, you know, outside of the experience and being on TV and having a blast? Like, because I imagine that you go on a show like this and then you probably get like a bunch of rich people watching and they're like, well, I want to hire the chef from Below Deck for my private charter. And it's probably really good for, you know, business, just picking up jobs and stuff.
Yeah. I never really thought it to that capacity. Kate mentioned, she was like, you know, you should do a travel cookbook. Like, you know, that's the best thing, because I've been everywhere. She says, why don't you just take something and photos of travel and everything, which I really want to do. I have been approached to do a lot of private parties and events and things like that. But for right now, the time being, I've got some other obligations that are coming up that I have to do. That's going to put me out of commission for about 2 to 3 months. So I can't be obligated to do anything else other than that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like you're going to have a lot of options on the table, because what's really great about the show is, like, they've shown that you make great TV and that you're super entertaining and a standout, but not at the detriment of your cooking. Like, they've really your cooking is really on that, like, top level. You know what I mean? It's not like you're the entertaining cook that, like, is just, you fucking can't cook a, you know, baked beans or something. Like, you can kill it in the kitchen and you're, like, entertaining as fuck. So I feel like you'll probably have more media opportunities on the way. And do you have any inkling of if you'll be back on Below Deck in some capacity?
I don't know. We'll see. We got to keep those ratings going.
Yeah. Well, I definitely hope to see you back. So I guess we're coming to the end of the season soon. What can, like, we expect from, you know, the rest of the episodes coming up? Can you, like, give any teasers?
Well, I mean, pretty much the rest of the season is, it's crazy because we kind of had to cut short. So it's just all going to go from there. I think we're just going to extend out all the creative material that we had, because we have tons of footage. I mean, like, tons of footage. I had cameras in my face 24/7. So did every other cast member. So I'm sure they've got plenty of stuff to make sure that this season is fulfilled fully. But, you know, it really is. You've got more guests that are coming on that are fantastic. Different characters, different dynamic, different vibe. You're going to see a lot more development in the crew dynamic as well. You're going to see some more drama, of course. I'm sure I taper off somewhere. I'm sure I get boring at some point. No, I don't. But I think it's still going to have the integrity of what it had in the middle. It's not going to, let's just say, it's not going to decrescendo. It's still going to keep going strong. So the viewers don't have to worry about it. Be like, do I really want to watch this? You know, and it'd be like, no, it's still great, great stuff and blackmail material. So
I think it actually has, it's gotten better, because, I mean, it was always good to me, right? But I guess because I had never really watched it before, I came in going, oh, wait, this show is, like, fucking awesome. There were other longtime fans that were like, it's boring without Kate. We miss Kate. But then as, like, it started, you know, more stuff started happening and, like, the drama and everything, and it was all picking up, people were, like, starting to love it. So I think that it started hitting its groove. I think when you told Captain Lee to fuck off, and then Dolores getting off the boat, and then, you know, the Francesca stuff, it's just all, like, it's all happening. What do you think the reunion will be like? Because I feel like, I mean, Izzy is really outspoken. Like, Izzy doesn't hold back. And I feel like Izzy might, like, come for Francesco, because Elizabeth's, like, very sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know if she has it to be like, to, like, you know, give it back to Francesco. I feel like Izzy might.
I think Izzy will. I think Izzy's, like, over it. I'm not there. I'm going to be zooming it. So, you know, it's not going to be like anything crazy. I'm sure that's going to be, you know, whatever. I don't talk to anybody. I talk to Izzy. I talk to Elizabeth. That's pretty much who I talk to occasionally. You know what I mean? So it's like everybody else, you know, I've got my own life. I've got my own stuff to do. Plus, you know, everyone has to understand it's been a year. Okay. It's been a year.
Okay.
I squash stuff within like a week, not even. Like, I'm all like, okay, your face again. Okay, that's great. I got paid enough to care. So, you know, it's like, it's one of those things. So I don't know. For me, the reunion can be, oh my God, my bangs are driving me nuts. The reunion for me is just going to be like, hey, how's it going? Whatever. And then like they can take, I'll let the cast members take it to wherever they want to take it. I don't have any preemptive, I'm going to, you know, defend myself after Eddie has done this. Cause I'm like, I don't even give a fuck. I really don't.
Well, look, I can't wait to watch the rest of the season. I cannot wait for the reunion. I hope you're back on the show. You and Izzy are my faves. But I do honestly love everyone. Like, yeah, I love the season. I love talking to you. I can't wait to watch the rest of it. And thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Jacques. Oh, my God, this is so much fun. Thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate it. It was a blast.
That's it for this week, guys. Thanks so much for listening. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe. And please follow me on social media, of course. That is Pop Inc. Pod at Instagram and Twitter. That's about it. So thank you again so much for listening. I appreciate all the support. Oh, and of course, you can support the show on buymeacoffee.com/popincpod. All of the money there goes towards like my monthly fees, so my editing software and recording software and my website hosting and just all of that stuff. So thank you, guys. Have a great week. Bye.